Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio, as I always am, the brilliant, the delightful SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook. What a place to be with you for. I get to speak to you every week as we do about Charlton. And what a show we have for you. We're going to be talking about the Sheffield Wednesday game. Delighted to say Cedric Avena will be joining us. And talking of the proposed new takeover for Charlton, that FA Cup third round draw, our typical Charlton housekeeping. There may be a trivia, as we've been doing in the last few weeks. These three get very competitive. I'll just try to keep the peace.
Easy.
And then we will be looking at the Middlesbrough game on the weekend. Stephen Jackson from the 12th Man Middlesbrough podcast will be joining us. A packed show here for the SE7 team, but you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, it may be a packed show, it may be a good one, a busy one. We have to start with Sheffield Wednesday. Another early kickoff. 3-1. Mark, where's it going wrong?
Well, you know, I predicted the 3-1 scoreline last week, and
well done.
You know,
just get that.
The thing is, I take no pleasure from that. But I think last week, after the
said with a smile,
well, I mean, after the announcement about East Street Investments, everyone was cock a hoop, and Lee Bowyer got a free defeat. To be honest, you know, I think if this would have happened a week ago, the reaction of the crowd might have been a little bit different, might have been a little bit more. Booze around the place, weren't there? But I think he got a free defeat on Saturday, and you know, as I said last week, any manager worth his salt in our division, then when they're playing us with no besides, because to play the big men, he don't fancy it, and that proved it.
Interesting. Paul, Sam, maybe he got a free hit, but to be fair, a lot of players are injured at the minute, you know, razor-thin squad, paper-thin squad, and apparently before the game and on the weekend, a certain group of players suffering with sickness, illness, diarrhea, and not even being able to take part in a match, some players taking part and having to being brought off.
Yeah, big time. So what happened, I think, on the morning of the game, when they were coming over on the coach, I think Abby Morgan fell ill, was sick before the game. So he went on to that pitch feeling, you know, like death warmed up. And, you know, had to put in any sort of performance when you're feeling like that, it's just remarkable, really. So that was incredible to see. And apparently... Andy Marshall reported that Tom Lockyer was feeling under the weather. So there was a couple of players who were ill, and our reserve keeper on the bench, Ashley Maynard Brewer, he had to drop out. So we had a real rookie as a backup.
And
so,
Purrington as well. Purrington, he went before the game.
Ben Purrington, I forgot about him. So yeah, on top of the 13 injuries that we went into the game, then we had three more players, you know, who got ill. So we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves. And as I sort of said before this game, despite the great news that we got last Friday with the announcement of the proposed takeover, I think we've got to weather this storm. And I think there are going to be a few more defeats to suffer, because we just haven't got a decent enough team to compete at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Ollie, never to make excuses, because, you know, you won't hear of the SE7 team, but the squad is bare at the minute, and it is hard to get results, and it just feels like Charlton aren't getting that rub of the green. You know, you've got the injuries, and now your players are going down with sickness.
Yeah, it's just our luck at the moment, isn't it? You know, we're having... injury after injury, then illness out of nowhere. And our very, very thin squad from the beginning of the season is even thinner now. But it does give a bit of a chance to give, I guess, a little bit of a free hit for some of the youngsters. Like, they can come out, play a game that no one expects them to win, and we can see what they're about. And I don't know about you boys, but I think that some of the youngsters really did themselves justice. Alfie Doughty.
Well, Alfie Doughty.
He's brilliant. A brilliant, brilliant game. He set up the goal. He knocked it around the player a la Gareth Bale. It was an amazing run. He did really, really well all game long, defensively and in attack. And it's really good to have that in mind and give him a bit of game time, because that was, I mean... No one really expects a result from it, apart from me. And, like you say, it was a bit of a free loss. We weren't going into it thinking we were going to win it, but it did give us a chance to see some players and, you know, still be in a good mood about it when we left the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you do suffer injuries and illness, Paul, some players get their chance of running a team. One player who has taken that and not really looked back has been Macaulay Bond, again getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, it was a very well-worked goal, actually. Doughty sort of did a fine run on the left wing and made it. And Bond, being the true poacher in the box, made it happen for himself. He got a good deflection. So another one to add to the tally. So, but Doughty overall, I mean, this was his full championship debut and he was doing it in front of the Sky Sport cameras. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he was playing for Bromley. Abby Morgan, he was playing for Ebbsfleet a couple of weeks ago.
That rise is incredible, isn't it, really? Yeah. When you say it like that, it's we have to be serious.
You've got to put it into context. Yeah. And then we had this fella coming on for the last 10, 15 minutes, Vennings.
I'd never heard of him before.
I must confess, I'd never really heard of him. I've seen the name in the under-18 lineup. But it was like, I mean, no disrespect to the lad, but it was like a 12-year-old coming on.
Say more meat in a butcher's apron, I'll tell you.
It was like we were bringing players on from the crash. So it got to a ridiculous situation, and Sheffield Wednesday took full advantage. They really employed the old roughhouse tactics on us, and especially on old Oz Toomer, they were really giving him some
I was absolutely fuming in the stadium because, in my opinion, the referee just did not protect Otzuma all game. No. I mean, he was literally getting kicked. Excuse me. He was getting kicked from pillar to post. Mm. And it was, I was raging in the stadium because it was not good enough. You've got to protect the players like that. You know what I mean? Because it got to a point where he was going to get hurt.
Well, he was, obviously players were involved in a penalty as well. I'm sure I'm getting this wrong because I'm only watching it on TV, but it felt like a soft penalty for me. Was it or was it a pen? A pen?
Well, no, I'll take
not
your point,
maybe
Mike.
Soft,
yeah.
But do you understand?
It was he if you look at it in slow motion, the guy goes down quite late. And
he
so
does, yeah.
To me, there was a little element there that, you know, there was not as much contact as I originally thought. Because when I first saw it, I thought, that's a penalty.
Yeah.
And to be fair, there was another incident early in the second half, and I thought Prattley should have conceded a penalty for us. That was definitely a penalty. So, you know, we got away with that one, but then we were punished. And then, of course, we carried on playing. We committed ourselves. And as Lee Bowyer says, he'd rather lose 3-1 than not go for it. And unfortunately, the guy, the big guy, is it Nihu?
Nihu,
I mean, he just wasn't marked. He was just bags of space. The boy Harris, Reach had come on a sub. He put it across and it was just one easy goal, wasn't it? Mm. And that was it.
Well, Lee Bowyer did say at the end, he said, you know, I told the players in the dressing room after, don't be down, chin up. You know, we know what we've gone through here. To put in that performance with the injury, with the illness, proud that the players still keeping them at it. I'll go back to that penalty, Mark, because my favourite bit was when Phillips shouted, you're going to miss. Did you catch that? And then Fletcher gave him a little bit of daggers after that, a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, it's a bit of banter. Why not go for it? You know, if you're going to give it, you've got to take it, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, just going back to, like Alfie Doughty, I mean, he was fantastic, you know. It's what a debut. I mean, and the guy he was up against, the right wing, he's no mug either. He's no slouch, and he left him for dead. And, you know, and Bo is right. Those players can hold their head up high, especially the youngsters, because I tell you what, Sheffield Wednesday had to work for that win. You know, and if you look in midfield, I mean, Barry Bannon, I mean, he's a quality player.
Yes.
You know, he's an international player.
Bundles,
you know,
of experience.
And Paul pointed, he was one of the danger men out last week, rightly so. You know, because as soon as he was getting the ball in sort of areas, he was just whipping the ball in, wasn't he? He's got a cracking left foot, that fella.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting you mentioned the players that you've been called up from Ebbsfleet and all over. The players you're having to draft in, the young ages, almost kids. We saw a stat, you know, from CAFC stats. We were delighted we had him on the show, and I saw it myself. Charlton have played 598 league and cup games since 2008, and in those 598 games, there's only been 7 games where an academy youngster didn't start. Yeah. So 591 games involved
stat.
In an academy player. That is just...
That's just astonishing.
You won't see that again.
Well, I mean, because he did put on there, I don't think I could rival it. I think Manchester United can rival it in a way, but I think they've had an academy player in their teams since 1937 or something, every year.
Right.
But probably not as many as that. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It's still an amazing stat.
And it shows where the future of the club is.
Yeah.
That we rely so much on our youth system and bringing them up, playing plenty of games and selling them on. That's how we make our business. That's how we do our things. And we're really proud of it. And the future's looking bright with the people who came on against Sheffield.
Yeah, and the future's looking bright with a proposed takeover. We're waiting for the EFL to give that the green light. We're going to be covering that a little bit more. Let's keep it on the game because we know of the injuries and the Finn squad and obviously the sickness and illness. But people who aren't watching Charlton, Paul, they'll go, "Oof, Charlton having a bad time, ain't they? They've been fanned out now." Or no wins in seven.
Yeah,
that's simply not the case. But it is no wins in seven. We still can't get away from that fact. Are you now, is there any more worry, any more cause for concern, or you just think this is the championship and we will get out of it?
Yeah, definitely the main factor is the injuries, and we're not able to put out our best side. But what is a concern is that the back line, the defence, haven't in the whole been injured. And it has to be said, our defence has been quite sloppy in recent games, yeah. And we've been conceding goals. So that is a concern. But, if you pull out, I mean, if you just take last Saturday, for instance, those four key players that we've got, Taylor, Williams, Cullen and Gallagher, I mean, you know, if we had the calibre of them to call upon, then we can give anyone a game in this division. So we've just got to ride out this storm. I think there is a distinct possibility it can carry on, and I could see us slipping possibly into the bottom three, but I think we've got enough with them coming back. We will ride it and recover. And obviously with January coming up, if we get the backing from the new owners, then I'm sure we'll be fine. Because this season is all about just being above that bottom three, that red line, and just bring some stability to the club with the new ownership this season, and then we can kick on from there. But we've just got to be very patient and stay calm in this period, because I think we haven't ridden it out completely yet.
I think he was talking to you there, Ollie. Just got to be calm. Just got to be patient. You predicting 4-0 every week's not helping.
We will. Just turn around. It'll be fine.
No, well, that is it, because, you know, I've, it's funny because I say that because I've had two conversations this week about Charlton, not on the Charlton show. And it was like, they're not as good as they were. Look at it now. Or, seven games unbeaten. They can't be that good. It's like, that is just, I'm not trying to defend it here, but I am in a sense. That is just not the case, is it, Mark?
No, I mean, you know, the injuries are going to... I don't care. I mean, look at Middlesbrough. They've got the same, we'll talk about them a bit later. They've got similar sort of injury problems. But if you had, like, squad players getting injured, the ones... But this is your Lyle Taylor. This is Josh Cullen. This is Johnny Williams. Geezers that would be first names on the team sheet. And they would probably be first names on the team sheet in probably half the division's teams if they were at them clubs as well. So if you're losing players like that, you're going to suffer.
I actually think we should give ourselves more credit because, in the early days when we lost Taylor and then Williams, we were still getting results. We were still going to places like West Brom and Fulham without key players. But it's like that sketch in Monty Python where the guy loses an arm. Come on, I'll still take you on. And then he loses another arm and another leg.
It's a mere flesh wound.
Indeed. So it's got to the point now where it is really difficult to come back at teams. And Sheffield Wednesday looked at that game on Saturday, and Gary Monk, especially at half time, he sent them out there and really got physical with us. And he saw the danger. The only real danger was Osthuma in the middle, and put a lot of emphasis on him and shut him out.
Exactly.
And that really sort of stopped us completely then.
It certainly did. Well, the SE7 team aren't worried. I'm not worried. It is a mere flesh wound. I'm delighted to say Cedric Avina will be joining us next, and we'll get his take on the season so far.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show. Let me tell you what happens in the break. You think we all get along, we have a laugh. Paul bullies me every single Thursday. He quizzes me on my tree knowledge. He tells me that my football team's 2-0 down. It's just all sorts of kind of horrible. But I am joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast. Just two members tonight, Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook. Really good they've joined me so far. Paul had to leave.
I'll get my coat.
Yeah. We've checked it on VAR. Definitely a red. But you can always join us. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 028 70 20 558. We were just talking about the Sheffield Wednesday game. We're hoping to get Cedric Avina on the phone. Having a little bit of technical difficulty in the studio in a minute. We will keep trying there. Let's quickly now, though, talk about the new takeover, because obviously we kind of alluded to it in the first half. It broke on Friday. Bit of a big football news day, really. Unai Emery being sacked at Arsenal, the Charlton takeover. Me and Mark were texting. It was all going on. But this is really the big news. This is the one you've waited for, you know. Finally, a sale that has been agreed. When the news broke, Mark, what was your first instant reaction?
Well, because I work on a Thursday, I end up working late after I leave here. I got in about 3 o'clock in the morning, so I didn't get up till sort of like about 11. And I got up and looked at my phone, and there's like about 700 messages on Twitter. I thought, what the hell's going on? Yeah. So anyway, I turned it on and then obviously read through what was going on. And I thought, at first, I was just like cock-a-hoop, very happy. But then, you know, we've got to be mindful. It's not been ratified by the EFL yet, so let's not get overboard so just yet. But, you know, the initial statement from East Street Investments seemed very positive. They seemed to get the club, so to speak, seemed to get the fans. You know, they've, you know, talking really well about the community spirit and stuff about the fans. So, you know, maybe they've seen what the mistakes that Rowland's made and hopefully not going to make them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're making all the right noises at the minute. Straight away, they've apparently mentioned to Lee Bowyer, he will be getting a new contract. The staff will be getting new contracts. Players will be retained. This is exactly what Charlton wanted to hear, but it hasn't gone through yet. I'm not aware of the process. Does anyone know, Paul, how long these things normally take? What certain areas, Ollie or Paul, do we know that they're waiting on?
I think what it is, basically, we were led to believe it's going through quite quickly because they've got no other clubs to deal with, and the fact that there's no criminal record issues and no insolvency issues, then the hope is that it will be announced by tomorrow. That was how they were saying it at the beginning of the week. So there should be a clear path. Unfortunately, there was a few nasty rumours on Twitter yesterday saying there's been a hiccup, and then Richard Cawley of the South London Press had to rectify that and say, no, as far as he's concerned, everything is tickety-boo and the EFL are looking at it as we speak. So I'm hoping today is the anniversary of us getting back to the Valley, 27 years since 1992.
Videos, yeah.
So hopefully, you know, maybe tomorrow we might hear some good news. But as Mark says, not to get too carried away, it was good to see the new proposed chairman, Matt Southall, sitting next to Steve Gallen. He was behind me on Saturday. And when he went through Crossbars, the fans' bars, on Saturday, he got a rapturous reception from the fans and hugs all round. In fact, it was good on Saturday because lots of people were coming up and hugging me. Mrs. Everett gave me a nice hug because the relief was palpable in the stadium, and everyone was getting a little bit carried away singing we're effing rich.
Nicely dodged for radio. But Ollie, Paul's right, you know, and you do, it is a pinch yourself moment because I was getting excited. I spoke to Mark, I'm doing all the research, and in that small amount of research, please correct me if I'm wrong, they have serious, serious money. We're talking more money than, you know, your Cities, your Liverpools, your Arsenal, whatever, Man United. The supposed money they have behind them, the net worth or whatever, we ain't talking no pocket change.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when they first came through, I knew nothing about East Street, knew nothing about the investors. I just saw Charlton Athletics being sold and I thought, that's great news. Let's see who they are. And you see they've got a bit of cash behind them. You're like, this is going to be interesting. So hopefully, you know, I mean, the team that Lee Bowyer and Steve Gunn's got together with no money at all has been amazing. So imagine if they can actually spend some money, especially that amount of money, that's going to be huge, especially at this level.
Exactly. Look what a job they've done with the small budget they've got now, you know, probably the smallest in the Championship, and going forward could be a real game changer for Charlton. But it does bring up so many questions, which we will get to the bottom of. But I can say, and I'm delighted to say, joining us now is Cedric Avina. Cedric, thank you so much for joining us on the Charlton Fan Show and giving us a little bit of your time. We were trying to get you on earlier, we was rushing about, we're so delighted to have you. Now we do get you. Big news for Charlton at the minute. Obviously, you know, this takeover, it could be a game changer for them. What do you make of it?
Thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, I think it's just really good news for the club. With all the problems that Charlton have had in the last couple of years, it would be massive. I think it definitely would be massive for the club.
Yeah, good evening, Cedric. Thanks for coming on. Just to remind Charlton fans listening in, you were with us between 2011 and 2014. Just tell us a little bit about your time with us and give us a sort of some reflection on what you made of it all with your time at Charlton.
I signed for Charlton in the summer 2011. It was a time when, you know, we were looking to go straight back up to the Championship. The gaffer had put up a really good team together, to be honest. You know, we had a lot of new players and everyone sort of really gelled together. It was like a big family, you know. Mm. It was a really good time to be at the club. It was probably one of the best, I probably have some of the best memories of my career there.
Yeah, because you got your breakthrough, didn't you, when unfortunately Reece Wiggins got an injury, but you came in and put in some solid performances, and then I think you got another contract. So I think you'd been up to Oldham on loan once you left Arsenal. Was it tough for you as a young player going up to a place like Oldham? Because I often think this, when players are moving around on loan, and I think obviously you've been to the likes of Crawley, obviously you've moved up to Doncaster full time. Yeah. But is it difficult for young players like yourself moving around the country and having to deal with the problems outside of football particularly?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was an eye opener going up to Oldham. I had lived my whole time in London, and first of all, moving far away from my family and friends, and it was different. It was definitely different. And being sort of like in that bubble of being at Arsenal and then moving to Oldham, where things weren't quite the same, where just little things like you had to get change at the stadium and train somewhere else and then come back to the stadium to get change, it was definitely an eye-opener to real football.
Yeah, there's not much difference between the Emirates and Boundary Park, is there?
no.
Paul makes a good point. The two most expensive boroughs, Islington, followed by Oldham. Lots of, affluent towns there. An eye-opener for anyone. Cedric, we also mentioned the form that Charlton are in. It was a brilliant start to the Championship this year. No wins in seven, but brutal injuries. Players even suffering from sickness and diarrhea on the weekend. You watching it, you know of the players and the team. Is it just the league and that's how it goes, peaks and troughs?
Yeah, that's obviously, with the start that Charlton had, everyone, sort of thought, whoa, they could do something really, really interesting this season. And obviously, it seems like once the injuries hit you, it seems to be one after the other, really. So, but I think when all the players come back and obviously the ones that I've been playing, I've been doing well in my opinion. I watched the game against Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday, and in fact, I thought they did well. Mm. And a lot of the academy boys on the bench and everything, which is good for the club. And so like I said, I think once everyone's fit, there will be a force to reckon with in the Championship.
Yeah, so Cedric, your last season at the Valley was 2014, which is the season Roland de Chasselet took over at the club. Yeah. Just from your point of view, how did things sort of change? From the day before to the day after he bought the club. Like, what were the changes he brought in?
It all happened very quickly, to be honest. It was very strange, because I remember when it happened, it was just like loads of people came to the training ground, loads of like new people came to the training ground, and everyone was sort of like, okay, what's going on here? And I don't know, the vibe just changed. I don't know what was going on upstairs. It just, the vibe of the place just changed. It wasn't the same. It was different. It's hard to explain. It's just from one day to another, like, the vibe just changed.
Cedric, can you just a quick one? Obviously, we're short of a left back, so you might be able to get down the training ground and see if you can get a trial anyway. But just explain to the fans that what the difference in quality going from the League One up into the Championship. Is there a big jump?
Oh yeah, there's a massive jump. There's a massive jump from League One to the Championship, especially now, because a lot of the Championship clubs are actually buying players from abroad and everything, because they really want to get to the Premier League, to the promised land. So the Championship has really gone up a level, and I think it's improving every year.
Brilliant. Cedric, your own situation now. I saw a little clip on Twitter of you looking to get fit. So obviously you're a free agent at the moment, and you had the disappointment of relegation with Notts County, our oldest football league club, dropping out of the league. So what's your hopes and aspirations moving forward now? Because I mean, you're still a young lad. You're only 28.
Yes. I'm still 28. I had a little bit of a disappointing summer, but that happens in football. So I've been keeping fit. I got myself a personal trainer, so I've got a couple of things down the pipeline. So hopefully things will get sorted by January, and then I'll be back playing.
Cedric, we really hope you are back playing. We really appreciate you coming on the show as well, and just giving us some of your time. It's always good to hear from a former player. We know how close Cholton are and their community. Cedric, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Cedric.
Cedric Avina there, hoping he gets with someone soon. He said he's got a few things in the pipeline. We're hoping to see him back with someone in January. But there was so much to talk about the takeover. There's still so many more questions from that. We're going to be talking that next, and the FA Cup third round draw, because Cholton versus West Brom, I'm guessing that these three weren't delighted with that.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio by the brilliant SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. Well, we've had such a busy show talking about the takeover, talking about the game, you taking part, the listener as always as well. Now we've got another special guest, because it is this time Robert Sullivan.
Who?
Has called. Who is this? Rob, always a delight to have you on and talk to you. Such a pleasure. But Rob, I do have to ask, you were the one that was scouting at the Premier League, looking up, and now all of a sudden, in a mini slump, you have gone missing in action. Is that what kind of form you do? When it's good, you're here, and when it's not, we don't even see you.
I know, I feel bad, Jen. I better call in.
Evening, Rob.
Good. I mean, good show tonight. Really good to hear from Cedric there as well. I hope he gets the club soon. He was a model pro for us when he played for us, his top bloke. It's a bit disappointing, but I mean, pretty much echo what the chaps have said tonight. The injuries are just too much at the moment. And physically on Saturday, you could see, as the game went on, Sheffield Wednesday, it was there for the taking. I thought the best example was penalty that Otsuma gave away. He was knackered. He chased that bloke down into the box, and he was physically done, and that leg was just there because he was knackered, and he put a leg out to put a tackle in, because such is the spirit and the effort, I think, of the team under Bowyer. But yeah, just not to be. We've got to really weather the storm at the moment. To be honest, I don't think it's going to get any better till after Christmas, personally, because you've got to give all the players that are out time to come back in and get fit. And that's going to take a while. They were talking today, Bowyer's press conference, that Taylor and Anike were back. They've been running, but today and tomorrow, the 2 days, they're back in full training with the team. And if they come through that, they'll be involved. They'll be on the bench on Saturday. So that's just going to have to be how it is for the next few weeks. And I'm just hoping that if the takeover gets approval, that Boya said there might be a bit of money in January.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really looking forward to that money.
While you're on, Rob, Mart is just about to pose a question. So do you want to
No, because Rob could be cheating. He's got Google at home.
No, I don't think so. No, he's good at... so, Rob, you can kick us off. So Martin is going to pose the question.
Unbelievable. Right,
the question is, Robert, there is 11, but top 10 appearances in the Premier League for Charlton. But there's two at joint 10th, so there is 11.
Oh, what? So, like, who's the 11th?
No, we've got 10 players, 10. With the top 10 appearance holders. Parker?
All right. No, I'm not sure. Maybe, like, Dean Kiely, definitely.
Yeah, he's at number 4.
Crikey. It's like one of those ones when you're... Holland?
He's at Matt number Holland. 9. Yes.
Well done.
Kishishev.
Oh, he's got
a good one.
I thought that might be just... Right, get rid of him. He's got my hard ones.
Where's he?
Chris
he's at
Powell.
Number 3.
Yeah, I was going to say Chris Powell.
Chris Powell's number 1.
Wow.
Luke Young.
We put you on the spot there, Rob, but that's brilliant.
That's a brilliant one, Ollie.
Yeah, well done.
Luke Young's number 2.
That's a brilliant call.
Thanks for calling, Rob. See you later,
mate. Cheers,
Rob.
Don't make it irregular. No, Rob, we miss you, Rob. We need you back in the studio soon. Definitely before Christmas to see what you're making the Cholton so far. Rob Sullivan there, another member of the SE7 podcast. We have got Martin's trivia. Let's keep that up. But while we've got our thinking caps on, just so I can have some thinking time. It was the FA Cup third round draw this week. It was West Brom. I checked your Twitter feed, and I know you wasn't really, if I'm putting it politely, Mark, happy about it.
Nah, man. You know, because you got them the week before in the league, so it's just...
But you played so well up at West Brom, didn't you?
Yeah,
you know,
we did. It's a chance to get into the next round, you know, because our home form's been a bit sketchy lately, but I mean, you know, at home I'm fancies against anyone, so it's an opportunity to get into the next round. I'd like to think West Brom might make a few changes, especially if they're up the top still, so we'll see.
Yeah, not how serious do you want to take the cup? So I know Cholton's obviously priority pool is the championship this year and staying up, but you know, it's always nice to have a cup run. The fans, you know what we think of it, we love it. Where do you stand on it all?
Well, I've still got very fresh memories of last season's cup campaign, and unfortunately at the moment that the line of thinking that Lee Bowyer takes, he won't put any main players out. I mean, I do understand he's got his priorities because it's all about survival this season. But yeah, as fans, you do want a cup run. And I remember being on the show a year ago and me and Martin had a little bit of a disagreement because I was so upset the side we put out when we lost to Doncaster Rovers in the second round. So I don't see anything different this season. I would imagine it would be like an under 18 side we'll put out, you know.
It's already that
general.
In the league at the minute.
Well, there
so,
you go.
Yeah.
So, and also as far as the actual draw is concerned, I've got a long enough memory. I remember us drawing West Brom back in 2008. We lost, I think we drew and then lost in the replay. And I remember us playing them in the 1990s. So, and it's amazing. Do you know what? We have never, ever been drawn against Millwall in the FA Cup. So good. Some teams you just avoid.
Well, we'd definitely be out then if we beat.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Ollie, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I don't know why I got excited about the FA Cup. I thought maybe we'd get a Premier League team, go away, go to the, like, you know, Old Trafford or Anfield or something like that. It'd be amazing away day. And then West Brom at home. Like, great. That's a game we're going to play anyway. it was a bit disappointing, the actual draw itself, but it does give us a bit of an opportunity because they might put out a weakened side. We don't have many choices in terms of the team we put out at the moment, so we might be able to get through to the next round. And then, you know, a bit of a cup run that really can change a season. You know, if you get a few runs together there, and then your league performance improves as well, and you know, that could be something that could turn it around for us. So there's some silver linings there, but I wish it was less boring draw.
Yeah, I do have to agree with what Ollie's saying. Well, it's been a packed show tonight. Now it gets even busier because it is another tradition. Ahmed has called into the studio. Ahmed, the results aren't going the way at the minute, but what are you making of them?
Before I say that, is Keith Peacock one of those players that's on that list?
No, not for the Premier League.
No, it's Premier League only.
Yeah, Premier League. Yeah.
Ahmed, that's it, VAR, you're off. Really good to speak to you.
Yeah, that's a red card for that, yeah.
Hey, don't
and then,
get him
and
that
then
quiz.
When they look at it again in the studio, they say it's not right, they got it wrong, VAR. what do I make of that? I thought Charlton's display at Okay, Sheffield Wednesday was sort of brave, battling and sort of bruising encounter.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like Lebo, you said, you just keep your heads up. I mean, given our injury situation, what do people expect us to do? I mean, I couldn't understand it. I was sitting watching the game and people around me were sort of hurling abuse at the players because we weren't performing. I turned to one guy and I said, hang on a minute, we're missing about 12 of our players.
Exactly.
We've got three youngsters on the bench who probably haven't ever played professional football before.
Yep.
And some of the fans were still—they wouldn't have it. They were upset that they weren't giving Bowie the best. And I don't understand it. I really don't. Some of our fans are so fickle. It's untrue.
Oh, name me a team without a fickle fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. You know.
One thing I'll ask you, Ahmed. Me and Paul were talking about it before the show. I would drop Sarr on Saturday. I know we've got without Lockyer, but I'd play Oshilaju and Pierce in the centre half. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a good call, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can understand why Bowyer wants to play Sarr come what may, because of his height in defence and also attack, possibly, and the fact that he's got good distribution with his feet and plays proper football to take it out from the back. But I don't think his head is in the right place either with what's going on.
That's my worry. That's what I'm worried about. Yeah. He's lost
the
confidence.
I think you made a good call there. Apparently, I was reading that Pierce wasn't injured. He was on the bench, but Bowyer just didn't decide to use him at any stage.
Yeah, he's just worried that he might get injured because obviously.
Obviously. Thing is, he's going to. That's a problem. You can psych yourself out of your own team selection if you start thinking like that.
Okay, yeah.
Another little point, Ahmed. I was just a little bit disappointed. I know the guy was probably feeling unwell throughout the game, but to get a booking in the 88th minute, which puts you out of the next game, I was a bit disappointed that Tom Lockyer.
That was totally unprofessional.
Yeah,
it's very
annoying.
He obviously wasn't using his head there for a start.
Exactly.
I'm sure Bowyer probably even said beforehand, he probably spoke to those sort of players and said, no more yellow cards today, lads. Yeah?
Mind you, to be fair, I mean, that referee was frustrating the hell out of me, so it must have been a nightmare to be on the pitch with.
Yeah, but being a referee, yes. Mark, any sort of form of dissent, you're going to get booked.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I completely agree, but it just the final straw for him, I think, that decision.
Final straw. Ahmed, always good to hear from you calling in to the Charlton Fan Show. Really appreciate your call. As always, it's a regular tradition. We always talk about the takeover. We're doing Martin's trivia quiz. I'm going to come back to it. We're doing Middlesbrough. Just quickly, though, because we're running out of time, but I feel like there's so much more to cover. What is the latest on Lyle Taylor? Because he's been very in the last few weeks very busy on Twitter.
He'll be on the bench Saturday.
He'll be on the bench, but I want to talk about his cryptic tweets that
cryptic
he's tweeting.
Tweet. I love that
one.
And
now with this new takeover, does the Lyle Taylor situation change, Mark?
Sorry, no, Charlie jumping in. His tweet when he said, I might go shopping down the East Street Market and have a few shakes or something when it is brilliant. Yeah, well, don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, if they come in and... If he's going to offer him the same money Brentford is offering, he's going to take it, isn't he?
Well, this is it because, you know, I mean, we haven't really covered it, but they said players and staff, you know, going to get longer contracts, Ollie. I mean, players are going to be retained. We're going to have money to spend. It's not just money to spend. It's money to maybe give those players a new contract. If Lyle gets that pay rise, because he said more ink in the pen, D&E, in another tweet, you know, this could be it.
Yeah, no, it'd be good to get Lyle off Twitter and back on the pitch at some point. But exactly. He wouldn't want to leave Charlton because of the legacy he's got here. The fans love him. You know, the other players love him. He's such an important part of the team. But if he was offered a ton more money, then I can see why he would. But now if we've got that backing behind us and we can offer him that, there's no reason for him to leave. And he would want that as well. He doesn't want to uproot himself and put himself somewhere else in London at the moment. He can stay and do something here and build and become a hero.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an interesting one how this will play out. It is Middlesbrough on the weekend. Both teams need a result. We're speaking to Stephen Jackson from the 12th Man Middlesbrough podcast. Love Sport. You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. We were just talking about the takeover, speaking to Rob, speaking to Ahmed. We had Cedric Avina on the phone, former Charlton player, doing a Sheffield Wednesday review. It is now time to do a Middlesbrough preview, the big game on the weekend. Before we do a full preview, because I felt like we only covered the takeover a little bit, because they have got so much vast amounts of money, Mark. I'm not sure if I asked you this earlier on in the season, but would you ever want Charlton to be that team?
No.
You know, yeah, you wouldn't want that, would you?
No, because I was on the...
I'm glad you knew where I was going.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the... After the game on Saturday, I was on with Miles and the Saturday football show.
I've got to stop these people tapping up my people.
Yeah, and they asked a similar sort of question. And I said, there's... I would hazard a guess. I went 95% of our fan base wouldn't want us to go out and spend 30 million quid on a player.
I'll be the other 5% then.
Well, that's it. Really, Paul? Would you want that? No. You know, complete...
No, I don't think we would.
I discussed it with Ewan Thomas and Paul Mortimer.
Oh, wait, hang about.
Just name dropping going on here.
I love it.
Mark on this show, I've got to close this down.
I chat with Johnny Borough about
he
it,
was
actually.
On with Johnny Borough. Yeah.
Paul's favourite, yeah, facts every time, long words, yeah.
No, but... No, seriously, I take your point, Martin. It's very important because first and foremost, we just want to get our Charlton back.
Yeah.
So we're just it's all about togetherness, and we've got a history of fighting hard for our club. We will go to any lengths. Obviously, recently, Card, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, you know, these people have gone the extra yard to sort of do what they can for this club. They just care so much. They raised £60,000 and came brilliant. Up with all different ideas. They got £4,000 left and it's going to go to charity. Yeah. And then cast your mind back to the 1980s when we got kicked out of the Valley. We were exiled from the Valley for 7 years. We got back to the Valley. Don't ever underestimate a Charlton fan. But going beyond that, yeah, if we can get the stability, I'm all for the cash.
Well, let's face it. I mean, even in our pomp, so to speak, in the Premier League days, you know, our record signing was still, I think, still Jason Yeo, I think, isn't it? Mm. So what I like to see the comparisons with Lee Bowie, if he does have a few quid, he'll go out and sign players that he know that will fit into the Charlton
exactly.
ethos.
Yes.
He won't go out and buy, you know, Charlie Big Spuds up the road who's cost 20 million and he comes in and don't fancy it.
Well, Charlie Big Spuds doesn't fancy it. I tell you, someone who does, it's the game on the weekend. We're talking to Stephen Jackson now from the 12th Man Middlesbrough podcast. Stephen, thank you for joining us on the Charlton Fan Show and so late and giving us a little bit of your time. Middlesbrough struggling themselves in the Championship at the minute. They need a result. They're down in 20th. Charlton can't buy a win at the minute. What are you making of the contest on the weekend?
Evening, lads.
Evening, Stephen.
It's one of the games, isn't it? You weren't expecting hello, was you?
we're very polite on this show, Stephen.
After last weekend, I don't know what to expect, to be honest. it was a shambles last weekend from us. I caught the Charlton game on the TV before we got absolutely decimated. But it didn't. After what we did, it doesn't really give me any much hope, to be quite honest. I know apparently, after what Woodgate said the other week, and we had no injuries at all, you've got quite a few injuries, haven't you? So, yeah, it's quite a tough game, isn't it?
It is a tough game. Stephen, I must admit, though, the fact that you've joined us on the Charlton Fan Show to give us opposition view, we're delighted enough. But to do so, I'm being informed that it is your birthday today. Taking the time out to do that, we appreciate
you. Thanks, though. Happy birthday.
We might go easier. We might say it's going to be a draw now, not a Charlton win. But we do thank you for giving some time. Stephen, on your birthday, we are talking about your club. Woodgate in charge now. What have you made of him so far? Because I know he's completely trying to change the style of football, isn't he? And it will take a bit of time.
He's changed everything about the club. In a way, he brought out this new philosophy, this new style of play that we were supposed to be playing. I think we've seen it for a game and a half. And then he might as well have stuck a baseball cap and his trackies back on, because he's been exactly like Pulis again. But then every time we play on the TV, I mean, I don't know if you watched the whole game, we absolutely destroyed them for 45 minutes because we play football. We didn't play hoofball, we played football. It's so, one week you like him, one week you don't. And, I mean, I'll always like him. He's my hero, to be quite honest, you know, from being a Borough supporter from all my life. You know, he's one of these players that I got the chance to see him in the Borough shirt, and it takes me back to his debut at Arsenal. That's what I'll always see in him, but he just hasn't cut it at the moment. He's not winning fans over at the moment, which is really hurting attendances, results. It's just not great for him at the moment. He just needs that big pick-me-up at the moment.
So, I mean, in your home games alone, you've only scored 8 goals in 10 games, so that's obviously one of your big problems. Where's he going to change it?
God.
If you knew that, you'd be manager.
exactly. If I knew that, I think they might as well put me on a 3-year contract. But it's tough at the moment because we're threadbare at the moment.
Yeah.
If Britt or Fletcher get injured up front, we've got kids. That's all we've got. We've got nothing. It's quite, we're down to our bare minimum at the moment.
You're making me feel good about our injury situation.
And I was trying to read about your injury situation. I thought, will this make me feel better? And then when it comes out, you know, you've got a couple of boosts and, you know the heat, a couple of players might be back and you're like, no, that just hasn't cheered me up at all. And it's just, when you look at our situation, you think, oh, God. But you've just got to keep optimistic. You've just got to keep going game by game. Mm. And this is one of them games now we've had to target for a win. There's no ifs, buts or maybe. A draw won't be good enough anymore in this game.
And Stephen, I hope they'll give you a question that'll be a bit easier for you. I always keep up with the Cheltenham players who've gone to other clubs, and the one in particular earlier this season was Anthony Distill, who joined you. I know he's injured at the moment, but how's he been received at Borough? Obviously, it's not been a great performance so far for a season. So, has he made much of an impact?
He's filled the void. Obviously, we've now started to see Howson going back at the right back again, which for me is ridiculous because he's our best centre midfielder. But when he plays, he's hot and cold. I mean, he made his debut against Blackburn and gave a penalty away within 10 minutes. Obviously, when he plays against Blackburn for you, like he scored an own goal, didn't he? So it was just... He's one of them... On his day, he's really good. When you play him as a wing-back, he can play really well. And I can see he is starting to improve. It's just unfortunate at the time of the injury, it's going to knock him back a few weeks now and he won't be back until around Christmas time where the games come thick and fast. But I don't mind him. A lot of fans can, you know, take it or leave him, but I don't mind him. I think he'll be a good addition in the years to come, to be quite honest with you.
Stephen, very quickly, what is your score prediction?
2-0.
2-0 Borough. I thought you were going to say Cheltenham.
It is his birthday.
Happy birthday, Stephen. Enjoy yourself. Stephen Jackson there from the 12th Man Manager podcast. We are literally, we have 10 seconds left. What is your score? 0-0?
2-0 to Borough.
2.
It would have been 2-0 to Cheltenham if we had
because it's Stephen's birthday.
Well, try and make him feel
Ollie.
Good.
And because it's Stephen's birthday, 2-0 Cheltenham.
2-0 Cheltenham. This is the SC7 podcast with Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.